Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at BestWestern.com.
Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1, OUTDOOR, and the number 1. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're going to be talking with Paul Campbell from the Ohio Outdoors Podcast. And this dude is a turkey hunting nut. Like, he is the version of me when it comes to So like I'm the whitetail guy, he's the turkey guy. So he absolutely loves doing all the turkey hunting. He travels, travels North America and hunts a variety of different, states for turkey. And he also works for the National Wild Turkey Federation. So his passion for turkeys kind of goes all the way into his life and his career and things like that. So today's episode it's a pretty good episode. I will say right now there is a little bit of technical difficulty with his audio. So just stick with it. And a majority of this episode is no problems. But there's just a couple spots where it gets a little wavy. But other than that, man, we talk about calls, we talk about decoys, we talk about guns, ammo, a little bit of everything, specifically about turkey gear gear that will maybe help us or make us feel comfortable during turkey season. So, excellent episode. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. I'm going to keep this intro short. Real quick, we have Hunt Stand, right? If you guys are looking for a map or an app that you can put on your phone that will do a variety of different things, as far as hunting strategy is concerned, you need to go check out all the functionality of Hunt Stand at huntstand.com. Obviously, it has the mapping options. And when I mean mapping options, I mean a variety of different base maps that you can use to, do your e-scouting. You can document your travels across the landscape by, dropping pins and saying, oh man, here is a scrape, here's a rub, here's where I saw turkey strutting, here's a bedding area, here's a pinch point, here's where I put a trail camera, here's where I put a tree stand, and just journal every single thing that you guys do in throughout the year. And then that just helps you become better prepared for the next season. The more data points, the more information, the more success. And so I strongly suggest going and checking out Hunt Stand. Huntstand.com is the website. And if you're looking for a 20% discount, you can enter the discount code SN20, 20%. The next is The Average Conservationist, an awesome apparel line. And they have a ton of awesome t-shirts, and they're very comfortable t-shirts. They're not the boxy type t-shirts. They're the soft t-shirts. Really comfortable, awesome hats, awesome logos, hoodies, and they have some other lifestyle brands type of accessories as well that you could buy. But I'm a huge fan. What's the hat here? This is the General's hat. It looks like a general would wear it. Actually, it looks like something you might see on Top Gun. It's a badass hat. It says The Average Conservationist, has 3 stars on it. And then I love the camo hoodie that they have as well. The cool thing about The Average Conservationist is that they give 10% of all their profits or all their revenue to some form of conservation effort, whether that's local or on a national level. And so not only is this company talking the talk, but they're walking the walk as well. And to be honest with you, a lot more companies need to go do that. So if you want to find out more information about The Average Conservationist, you can check out their podcast here on the network, The Average Conservationist, or check out their website, theaverageconservationist.com, and check out all of their hats, hoodies, shirts, and all the other cool stuff they have. So that's it. Let's get into today's episode with Paul Campbell, and let's talk about turkey gear. All right, on the Hunting Gear podcast today, fellow network podcaster Paul Campbell from the Ohio Outdoors Podcast. Paul, man, what's up?
Dan, how you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm doing good, man. Sounds like you're doing pretty good. You've already been out trying to shoot turkeys.
I have. I spent the last couple of days in Alabama, got my butt thoroughly whooped by the turkeys in the state of Alabama. So it's still good, man. For an Ohio guy getting to hunt the first week of April, this is a rarity. So I'll take it. Can't complain.
Yeah. So let's see here. Alabama, were they sounding off? Were they going crazy? Were they henned up? What was the deal?
So the first 2 days, they were super active. Didn't want to commit. I was on a pretty nice piece of private property down there Third day, I went out, ventured out by myself. I got on a huge chunk of private or public, that little national forest, and I didn't hear a single gobble until probably 1:30 in the afternoon. And I went round and round with one turkey for like 3.5-4 hours. It was insane. Long story short, this turkey, for whatever reason, wouldn't leave this little strut zone down the street. It was like 50 yards off the side of the road. And some guy in a truck sees this turkey in full strut and pulls right up next to him, rolls his window down, and this turkey turns around and runs out of my life. And I just kind of sat there totally deflated and picked up my stuff and went home. So,
man, that's one of those things happens. Where that's not like just turkey specific. That's like hunting specific. I've been there before where, I did a blind rattling sequence one time. And I see this buck, he comes across this huge open field, like right in the middle of it. And he's coming right to me. And then all of a sudden there's a truck that pulls up alongside of this, I don't know, it was a ways away from where he's at, maybe 200 yards, but the guy noticed him. And so he stopped, and then the buck looked, and then he turned around and just kind of, he ran the opposite direction. So...
just heartbreaking.
I've had that happen before, not necessarily in the turkey woods, but it is a little deflating, and then you're just like, man, I hate people.
I did everything right, you know, and it's some guy in a white pickup truck with Alabama plates ruined my day.
So if you're, hey, just for all the guys who are listening in Alabama right now, if you drive a white pickup truck and it's turkey season and you see a strutter, just keep driving, man. You've seen strutters before, right?
Just keep driving, man. Do us all a favor.
So let's see here. I think I've voiced my opinion on several different occasions that, like, I like turkey hunting. Don't get me wrong, but I don't get crazy hyped up about it like I do with deer hunting. And because of that, then my turkey hunting gear and equipment is never like the greatest of the great. I use all the same clothing and boots, I do for, you know, my deer hunting adventures, and just like, man, maybe even like a pair of work jeans. Right. And I don't take it serious on the gear end. But on deer hunting, I do. It sounds like through previous conversation, you're a turkey hunting nut. Is that correct?
I love it. Yeah, love it. Think about it, 365 days a year. And I'm that guy that I have enough turkey hunting stuff that I could outfit like 30 different people. And I still buy something new every year. And, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's something that I can use to kill a turkey, I'm going to try it out.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Always looking for something new.
But your passion there reflects your gear, right? So that's where putting a lot of your energy, you know, your money and time researching products and equipment is to get in, you know, to gather that stuff.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it started out, you know, 15 years ago, I was the cheapest Walmart camo, you know, Caterpillar black work boots from Walmart. And it's evolved into, you know, I want to be my personal philosophy, especially with turkey hunting, the more comfortable I am, you know, with good gear, the longer I can stay out and hunt. You know, if I've got crappy boots and I wear a, you know, a blister in my heel 4 miles into the woods, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done for a week. Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah. I feel you.
Where I come from.
Okay. So let's talk about this gear. And this is, you know, this is going to be, it's turkey season. So this is turkey specific. Why don't you kind of talk about necessities? All right. And let's not talk about weapon right now, but let's just talk about what you feel are necessities as far as gear and equipment for turkey hunting.
So I think that I'm not even going to talk about turkey calls. Everyone knows that you need to have a turkey call. And some people say you don't need a call to kill a turkey. You probably do. So I think for me, the biggest necessity, and this is something that I have searched for a decade, and I just mentioned it, it's a pair of good turkey boots. And for me, it's something specific to turkey hunting and my style. I do a lot of public land. I do a ton of, you know, I go in to the turkey woods, and I'm probably going to average like 7 to 10 miles every time I hunt. and it's, you know, through creeks, it's through mud, it's up the side of hills. And so I've looked, I want to be lightweight. I want to, and I've explained this to people and they kind of look at me funny. I want my feet to feel the ground still when I'm running, you know,
yeah,
but be protected. So, you know, I've tried the big, you know, like the muck boots or, you know, the boots. I wear like a lacrosse or Irish Setter, you know, insulated boots for deer season. I wouldn't wear those in the turkey woods because they're too heavy. My feet feel dumb. So I think for me, like that, the main thing for me is a good pair of boots. That's like the number one necessity.
Yeah.
I think the, you know, camouflage, you can wear anything. I honestly believe that. It doesn't matter what the color is. I mean, you can wear solids. Like you said, you could, if you're wearing a brown shirt and brown pants, you're probably going to blend in at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah.
You can't camouflage, I think, is really whatever you're comfortable with, whatever your budget supports. Boots, put the money into it.
Yeah.
And you know, I've gone through probably 15 pairs of boots over the years.
Yeah.
Try them out for a season, don't like them, just keep upgrading. So
yeah, that's the way it is for pretty much all hunting, right? Is I think it all starts with the feet. Whether you're deer, you're out west climbing mountains, or you're in a hot environment or a cool environment, you have to have a pair of socks and a pair of boots that are going to keep you comfortable in whatever environment you're hunting in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I took a new guy out a couple of years ago, and he went out and bought a pair of like $10 rubber boots from TSC, Tractor Supply Company. I'm like, you are going to hate your life here in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, put it in. You know, I think a vest is another thing that you might not necessarily need to have it. It's definitely going to make your life easier. You know, you can hold some of your calls and gear and water, and it provides comfort with the seat. So,
yeah,
that's something that I've you know, I bought a Cabela's, I think it's called like a tactical tater vest. I bought it in like 2008, and I've bought probably like six vests since then. I always go back to that tactical tater every time.
Yeah.
So it's comfortable and it's functional. So,
yeah. Okay. So, you know, you read about the biology of a wild turkey, and when it comes to their eyesight, they have really, let's just boil it down. They have really good eyesight. Okay. So sure. I am like, when it comes to deer hunting, man, I just don't think like I wear off browns and dark greens or like foresty colors. Right. I don't necessarily think camo impacts deer hunting as much as most people think it does. With that said, I kind of believe that it does make an impact on turkey, because you're usually at ground level with them, unless you're in a blind, right? Unless you're in a hunting blind. But if you're doing the kind of turkey hunting that I do, I'm not sure what you do, but I'm the run and gun, no blind, sit up against a tree, hold still, maybe throw some decoys out and wait, try to call them into me. And so I want to be blended in as much as possible. Do you feel that camo is more important, or it plays a role in turkey hunting?
Yeah, without a doubt. I feel like a deer, deer will look at something and say, what is that? Turkey will look at something and say, what was that, as it's running away?
Right.
So your margin of error with turkeys is zero. If they see something that they don't like, they are gone immediately, and they're not gonna stick around to see what it is. You get no second shot with the Tom that's poking out there. So I think anything that a hunter can do to the environment, and you know, it comes down to sitting still, that's the number one thing, but to blend into their surroundings, I mean, that's imperative.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it depends on what part of the country you're hunting in, you know, with the colors. I use split camo. I've got a lot of brown on the lower half of my body and a little bit of brown and green mixed in, you know, on the upper half. So,
yeah.
But yeah. I think it's definitely crucial. So,
yeah. And that's usually what I'm doing during turkey hunting is I'll wear a pair of work boots. A pair of work pants like Dickies, or there's a brand I like called Arborwear, and it's a khaki denim type work really heavy duty pant. And that's what I usually wear around, and then some kind of camo on top. And that can be what basically whatever's on the top of the pile, to be honest with you. So, yeah. Do you have a favorite kind of camo pattern that you go with?
Yeah. So I use, my pants are Mossy Oak Bottomland.
Yeah.
All brown. Up top, I rotate. Early season, I'll use Greenleaf, Mossy Oak Greenleaf, which is the bottom land with just some green leaves in it.
Yeah.
Late season in Ohio, when, you know, in 2 weeks you get all the understory, you know, grows up and there's a lot of green. So I'll switch to like Obsession,
yeah,
Mossy Oak Obsession up top. So just to kind of blend in a little bit more. So, and the mask, I use the same face mask day in and day out. It's just the old school Mossy Oak bottom land.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But definitely, heavy on the Mossy Oak.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell you this. I have a cutoff t-shirt sleeve for my mask. That's what I use.
Oh, nice.
I use.
That'll work.
Yeah.
That'll absolutely work.
Yep. I can remember one of the very first hunting times I ever went turkey hunting. I had my work pants. I had a pair of work boots. I had, pair of Walmart, it was probably Realtree or Mossy Oak, you know, one of those brands that you can buy at Walmart, a hooded sweatshirt. And that was it. I mean, and a camo baseball cap. And then I had a face mask, but I killed, you know, my first turkey that way. And, but I also made a lot of mistakes, you know, those upcoming, you know, years and seasons trying to chase turkeys and things like that. Now, so we've talked about boots, we've talked about camo. Outside of those two, when it comes to maybe trying to make turkey hunting easier or to, you know, flatten a learning curve, are there any products that you've used or you've seen that have maybe helped someone become more successful?
I think the biggest thing, and this is, I mean, this is going to be kind of no kidding answer, is become proficient at calling, and whatever call type that is. So many people get hung up on, well, if you can't use a mouth call, you know, is that really turkey calling? If you can't use a mouth call, like I can't do it. 15 years ago, I just moved to something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it be a box call, find something that you can yelp on, and that's all you need, and get good at it.
Yeah.
And it could be one of those little scratch boxes, like with the HS Strut makes them. You just like pull a little rope and it yelps. You know, don't be afraid to use something like that.
Yeah.
Especially when you're first learning. I think people try to, they get so hung up on the, well, I'm going to use a mouth call, and they can kind of make a sound with it, but they're not real good at it, because it takes a while to get good at that. So, you know, put your pride aside, man, use something that you're efficient at. And you're gonna enjoy hunting turkeys more.
Yeah, I'll tell you this right now. I am absolutely horrible at calling using like a diaphragm call, a mouth call. I suck at it. And it's probably because I don't ever practice with it. So I'm a slate guy. I'm a box guy, box call guy.
Yeah, me too.
And so that's what I've learned to, you know, to call them in at. When it comes to specific calls, right? Do you think there's any type of call that has a more realistic sound to it that may get them fired up and or get them located, or you know, have them respond to you?
Yeah, I use a tube call quite a bit. It's just a little piece of wood with a piece of latex over it, and they're super loud, and that's where it comes in to play for me. If I'm, you know, using a box call or a slate call or a trumpet, whatever it is, and I'm not getting any response, I can use that tube call, and I can cut on it, and it is, I mean, it will pull gobbles out of the hills that's something, you know, another call type may not have done all day. And I really think it's the tone, and it's like how loud it is. So you just kind of generate a shot gobble instinctively for those toms. Once they do that, that's when you can dive in and start getting closer and you know, just actually hunting these turkeys. But something real loud. So a lot of guys will use like a box call for a locator call, just something that's real loud. You cut on it quick. I use a tube call. They're cheap. They're super easy to learn, and they are deadly.
Yeah. Okay. I've personally never used one before. So that's something you just blow in and it sounds like a hen.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, you can actually gobble on them too. Some of the guys that are more efficient, but it's just, it's kind of weird. Like that you put the call on the top of your lip and you just like force a decent amount of air through it and it vibrates that reed. So it's kind of like a mouth call. You're activating like a latex reed, mm-hmm. to get that, to produce that sound. And then the tube, the bell, is just what amplifies it. So,
okay.
Yeah. That's super, super basic. Guys use like back in the day, they would use old snuff cans and throw rubber on and use a chewing tobacco can to call turkeys with. So that's kind of the history of those, but man, they're pretty wild.
Yeah. I didn't mention this at the beginning, but you work for the National Wild Turkey Federation. So
I do.
So this guy actually knows something about turkeys.
I try my best. That's for sure.
Okay. So, now slate calls. I mean, there's glass, there's actual slate, there's plastic or resin or whatever. There's a thousand different
aluminum, brass. Oh yeah. Yeah. It goes deep, man.
So for a newbie, right? What would you recommend for a newbie as far as calls is concerned?
For a newbie, I think slate is more forgiving when it comes to the friction calls. That's definitely easier maintenance. You just take like a little Brillo pad and just lightly scratch it up. One of the things that I've learned over the years, and this is just kind of my personal preference, but I feel like you can over condition like a glass call to where it kind of loses some of that the finer aspects of calling.
Yeah.
Slate calls really easy to use, very forgiving, and I mean there's a ton of realism to those slates. So if you're new, I mean you can get like a Primo slate call from Walmart for like $15.
Okay.
And the thing sounds good. It's going to kill turkeys. So that's, I would definitely say, if you were new to getting into turkey hunting, get you a slate call. If you want to go that pot and peg, that's where I would start out. And you know, 10 years down the road, you're going to have 75 different pot and peg calls and
yeah,
every surface type you can
right.
imagine.
Do you have a favorite slate call?
I do. I picked up 3 or 4 years ago, I picked up the Woodhaven. I think it's just called like the Cherry Classic in slate. It's a call they've been making for 20 years. And I mean, it just, for me, it's got just a lot of rasp. I mean, so you have your top surface material. So slate, glass, copper, whatever it is. And then you'll have like a soundboard underneath that you can't always see with those, like materials like slate. And the thing just sounds great, man. I mean, it's got a ton of rasp to it. It's a very versatile call and it's easy to run. So I can do, you know, all the different call types on this slate call and I can do them pretty well. And I mean, so that's definitely my preferred. The first call I ever bought was a Primo's Power Crystal. And it's just a like an acrylic call. And Dan, it took me 2 weeks before I figured out that you had to rough the surface up to get it to call. because I had this striker. I would sit in my house and I would scratch this striker over this thing, and it wouldn't make a sound. I mean, it would just kind of like squeak. And this was before like YouTube, and I didn't have anybody that knew how to hunt turkeys. 2 weeks before I figured out you had to sandpaper the the top of the call. So,
yeah.
But yeah, slate, I would have totally avoided that. It's ready to go out of the box.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I used to have an old box call until one day it got wet and then it warped and it never worked again. Even when I would put chalk on it. Now, the next year I went to the store and the box call, and even on one of my slate calls, if they get wet, they still work. Which is pretty cool too, because you know sometimes it's sprinkling or you drop it in some wet grass or condensation or I don't know whatever reason there is. Yeah. Some of these calls now work when they're soaking wet, and that's
amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing for a guy like me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, before I forget who came out, it just within the last like 5 years, someone came out with like that like a pot and peg that you can like dip in water, and it's got like the coated tip. And but before that, like I, you know, my sleigh call wouldn't work if it was raining. So I would take a clear plastic bag into the woods and I would box call in there while it was raining, and I would call inside of this plastic bag because I couldn't, that was the only thing I had that would work in the rain.
Yeah. So I carry
a long way, man.
Yeah. I carry two slate calls with me. Okay. And one striker. So the call itself, they each have a little bit different of a tone. Right. And sometimes I'll switch it up and make it seem like there's two turkeys, maybe two hens talking to each other. Well, I don't know. Right. I don't know shit about turkey hunting, but
yeah,
but a little bit of the tones. Are you carrying multiple calls with you or just one?
No, I carry multiple. And the one thing that, you know, if you want to have, you know, for budget reasons or simplicity reasons, whatever you want, if you want to have one turkey call, one sleigh call, box call, or, you know, sleigh call or glass call, doesn't matter. If you have multiple strikers that are, you know, different material, different tips on them, you're going to get a different sound produced out of those individual strikers. So yeah. I have a glass call and a sleigh call, and I carry probably like 6 to 7 different strikers into the woods every time I go. And so I may only use two, but if I need to switch it up and sound different, I can get different tones. And if it's a real quiet day, you know, nothing's gobbling, I'll switch up, you know, strikers just to see, you know, if I can get a response out of just a different sound. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's one easy way to do it.
Gotcha. Okay. Now when it comes to decoys, right? I mean, I've had decoys, as far as strategy is concerned, I've had decoys help me. I've had decoys hurt me. I've had, you know, like a hen sees the decoy, they're working into the call, sees the decoys, turns around, walks away. The strutter follows. I've had times where I've never had that experience, like I've seen some guys have, where they straight up run at a decoy. They're just sprinting at the decoy. I've never had that before. I've had them walk in kind of quickly, but not run, right? They're strutting the whole way. And so what's your opinion on decoys?
So I've used them. I've had success over the years. I don't use them a ton anymore unless the situation dictates it. I mean, just this week we were hunting over food plots. And one night we used decoys. I have no personal issues with them. A funny decoy story. I was hunting. I had permission to hunt this big farm here in Ohio, and it was just it was surrounded by woods that was not a part of the property. It was all pasture land. So I the first time I go out to hunt it, I bring my one hen decoy, and I forgot to bring the stake. So I search around this field at like 5 a.m. I find a stick. I stick the stick in the ground. I set the hen decoy on top of it, and it's kind of like teetering on there. First thing in the morning, I get like 10 hens that fly out of the field. They make a beeline to this decoy. And as one of the hens is passing this decoy, she pecks at it and knocks it off the stick, and this decoy hits the ground. And they puff up, and they are gone. They take off running. They're putting all the way through this field. So decoys, use them cautiously. I mean, I guess if the situation dictates it, use it. If it's legal in your state, you know, use it. I don't use them a ton just because I don't want to carry them around the woods. And that's what it comes down to for me. It's just one more thing that I got to worry about. I'd rather just, you know, find a bush to hide behind and, you know, kind of block myself from the view of the tom. So,
yeah. Are there times out there that you wish you had one though?
100%. All the time. I mean, how many times, like, and a lot of turkey hunters can relate to this, that you've got a tom that just hangs up 70 yards and you can see him and he can see you. He can see into the area that you're at, and he doesn't see a hen, and he's not dumb, so he's not coming up there. So, I mean, it happens. I think, and I think a lot of that's part of the fun for me is just kind of, you know, outsmarting that critter on his territory. But if you're just looking to have fun and enjoy it, decoys are really, I mean, they can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When those turkeys come into them, and I've never had them come running up. I've definitely had them come into my decoy set pretty aggressively, which is pretty cool. So,
yeah, that's cool, man. So let's talk a little bit about, okay. So I don't necessarily want to get into the archery aspect of it because I feel like guys, you know, are using the same bow setup that they would with their whitetails. I don't know. Do you bow hunt turkeys at all?
You know, I've not bow hunted turkeys during the spring. I've done it in the fall, you know, while you're, you know, bow hunting deer. Just the way that I hunt, you know, I'm on my butt, I'm hiding in bushes. It makes it just that much harder to, you know, to draw back a bow, you know, and kill that turkey. So it's not something that I've done. I'm not necessarily against it. I think the one thing that I will say is kind of like a public service announcement. Learn where, if you're an archery hunter for turkeys, learn where to hit them. There's a very small kind of window, target for turkeys. So there's a lot of good videos of really accomplished turkey hunters that use archery equipment on YouTube. So I would definitely, I would get into those, but not something that I've done very much.
Gotcha. Okay. There's that. Now, guns. Okay. There's a wide variety of guns. There's a wide variety of turkey shells that you can use as far as shotguns are concerned. What's your setup?
Yeah. So currently I'm using one of the new Browning A5s. I use a Carlson choke. I shoot TSS. I just started that, I don't know, probably three years ago, I started shooting the TSS. I've had like six or seven different turkey setups over the years, and I've killed turkeys with all of them. So it's just, once again, it's like whatever's comfortable for you, whatever fits within your budget. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'm a tinkerer, man. Like I'll buy a box of TSS and go out and throw it down range just to see, you know, what it looks like in that, you know, and that shotgun or that choke tube. And I bought one of the, I don't want to discourage anyone from buying one, but one of the smaller, like 20 gauge, like single shots a couple years ago, didn't like how it patterned, but sold it, you know, just something that, you know, I'm kind of weird about, I guess. I put a lot of time and effort into the patterning of the gun. And I want to make sure that it is the most efficient killing implement I can take into the woods. I don't want any more, you know, I don't want my equipment to fail. That's frustrating. We've all had that, you know, so I definitely put the time and effort into getting that setup dialed in as I possibly can. It's a lot like you with your bow setup, you know, I'm just a maniac about it. So,
yeah, I feel you. All right.
I think that the gun that I've killed that I've had the most success with is just the absolute classic for hunting is the Remington 870.
Okay.
I had the thumb hole, and I mean that thing is the turkey killing workhorse. So
I'll tell you this, my weapon of choice is a 20 gauge. I have a Mossberg pump 20 gauge that I just put three shell. I have a box of shells that it's probably 10 years old. They're two and a half, two and three quarter inch, turkey shells. And I've killed so many turkeys with that gun over the years that it's just, I don't know. I want a 12 gauge, don't get me wrong, but you know, 12 gauges are heavier. They kick a little bit more. Yeah. And I mean, I'm getting the job done. No choke, no scope. Do you have a red dot on yours?
Not currently. I've hunted with red dots before. But this gun that I have now patterns pretty good with the iron sights. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I get nervous about red dots, man. Like you talk about like something failing in the woods, and I've never had one fail, but it's always like in the back of my mind, you know, when I go to press this thing, is the red dot going to pop up? So I get sketched out about that stuff.
Yeah. So outside of that, then, what kind of slug are you using again, or a shell are you using?
The shot shell. So I use TSS, and I've experimented with, you know, with Apex, with Federal. I'm currently this year, I'm running Rogue ammunition. I think they're just kind of a newer player on the game. I think eventually I'll just start loading my own stuff once I can figure all that out. But, man, I get like the number nines is what patterns the best out of my Browning. And there's blends. I mean, you can get sevens, eights, nines, blend of all three. I use the 3.5 inch shells, not because I'm like macho, but I want to pack a punch, man. When it comes down to it, I want that kill shot to be quick and over. So
yeah,
I would never I would never shoot like 70 yards at a turkey, and that's like kind of the selling point for a lot of people for TSS. You know, and I honestly, Dan, I never even tried. I pattern my gun at like under 40, and that's it for me. So
yeah,
but man, yeah. I'll tell you, 40 yards at 3.5-inch loads, they are devastating.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I've ever killed a turkey at past 40 or at 40. I've been hunting with guys who have taken some really long shots, but they have a pretty tight choke, and they're shooting 12 gauge threes, 3.5s. And, you know, it's like firing a shot put out of your gun at that, you know, at that power and at that distance. So I've never really been the long shot guy. Actually, last year, if I would have had a 12 gauge, I probably would have taken the shot. This Tom was right behind just like a very small bush, couple branches. And I feel like if I had a 12 gauge, I would have taken the shot. But I had a 20 gauge and I needed him to take two more steps. And then the example of the hen seeing the decoy, not liking it, and skirting around. And instead of the Tom following the hens, he stayed on that straight line and basically caught back up with them. And, didn't work, but
that's tough.
Yeah. That's what it is. Outside of that, is there any other, I don't know, is there any other type of product out there that, two things here. One, that may benefit a new hunter, someone who's brand new to turkey hunting, or second, maybe a guy who's really experienced and is looking for something cool to take into the woods with him.
You know, I was down at ATA this year, and I saw this new ground blind company, and I've not used ground blinds before. Just like, they're kind of cumbersome and, you know, they're a pain to pack up. But this company, Newcomb Hunting Blinds, I think they're out of North Carolina. Good people. They made like this triangle looking blind, and they call it a screen. So it's not necessarily a blind. So you put it out like kind of where the end of your gun barrel, you know, so you can move around the edge of the blind, and then they've got holes cut out. Thing weighs like 3 pounds. I bought two of them. I've been taking a lot of, you know, my nephews and getting some kids into hunting, and man, kids move around so much. I mean, it's just nonstop. I mean, you know how it is. So I'm going to use some ground blinds this year, just for some of the newer guys that I'm taking out. I've got one friend of mine. I took him duck hunting for the first time this year, and we had mallards coming in. He was shaking so bad, Dan, that, I mean, he could hardly lift his gun. So I know when Tom's getting close to him, he's going to be all over the place. So it's something that I haven't used in the past, but I mean, I'm definitely going to use it, you know, this year, just because of the kids that I'm bringing out and the new people, just to give them that extra little, you know, protection. But man, this thing's super light. It folds up really quick. I really like it. I was very impressed with the construction. I think stationary hunting, and you want to be outside, not like in a blind that you use for deer hunting, that thing was pretty, it's pretty slick. I would definitely check those guys out. So that's new or old. I think for like, especially for like brand new hunters, a good locator call is something that we haven't touched on. I mean, you can get like the loot from it. It's like $10.
All right. So as far as hunting products are concerned, you know, gear for turkey hunting here, is there anything that you might recommend? And we can answer, I want you to answer this two ways. One, answer it for a new hunter, something that might help them in the field, something that might help them be more successful. And then maybe someone who's really experienced, they've already found what works for them, but maybe a product out there that might just be cool to have.
So I was at the ATA show, and I ran into this ground blind manufacturer out in North Carolina, Newcomb Ground Blinds. And so they're like triangular. They're super slick, man. They like, they're mobile, they're light. I've not used a ground blind before in the past, but I've been taking a lot of young kids out and new hunters out into the woods. They move around, they get jittery nonstop. So I wanted to have that, you know, that blind to help, you know, kind of shield them. But For new hunters, I mean, I would definitely check that out. It's really portable. It's mobile. I was very, very impressed with the way that it works. And you know, even if you're just setting up like in a farm field or something, it's pretty cool. So as far as like for older hunters that are more experienced, I'd say some of the weirder call types have proven pretty effective for me over the last couple of years, just kind of pulling a gobble out of a quiet morning. So I got into trumpet calls a couple of years ago. Wingbone calls are good. The tube call that I mentioned earlier, you know, I would give one of those call types a try. And I've been able to get, you know, especially with the trumpet, you know, when it's just a real quiet day or, you know, nothing's going on, I hit that thing. A lot of times I can get a response from a tom on that thing where I haven't gotten any interaction, you know, the rest of the day. So, you know, get outside of your comfort zone, use one of those cool calls and give them a try. I mean, I think a lot of guys will be really impressed with how they work and, you know, what they can do for you.
Perfect, man. Perfect. Well, is there anything that we forgot about turkey hunting gear and equipment?
You know, I don't think so. We covered it pretty good, man. A good hat. Get a hat. Get an NWTF hat like I'm wearing right now.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.